This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki in New Plymouth, thanks to New Zealand On Air. For more local content, search for accessradiotaranaki.com.
Hot Chocolate for the Soul, a show where everyone is welcome. We want to create a cozy and contained place to talk about it. Well-being, self-improvement, relationships, self-awareness, and always embracing our inner child. Un espacio seguro y abierto, conversar de bienestar, calidad de vida, crecimiento personal, relaciones de pareja e iniciativas destacables en Nueva Zelanda. Hello everyone, welcome to the Hot Chocolate for the Soul. We are just in another amazing program. The name of this program is Alternative Sport for Females. It is quite a very suggested name. We're going to learn about alternative sports, so many, of course, but we're just going to start, try to learn some of them. You probably will feel related with those. So to talk about it, I have this amazing lady with me, beautiful, gorgeous English lady. She's a former climbing wall. She's also a founder of the Facebook page Manage My Wellness, where she encourages exercise, well-being, healthy lifestyle, and positive mindset. She's also used to be part of the YMCA climber instructor. So there was for the group called Ladies Night, where actually I met her. Welcome, Anna Davies. How are you?
Hi, Paola. Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me again.
It's an honor to have you, definitely. You've been in many programs before, and we always talk about different aspects of the well-being. Definitely exercise one of the main aspects on the well-being, I think. And you will be agree with me on that. And I think rock climbing is something, is just something that a lot of people feel, I would love to try. Some of the female, they've given up before because they find it is too hard. So I want to know more about your own experience. How long have you been doing it?
Oh, climbing. So I first tried climbing when I was a teenager. So that was back in the 90s on an outdoor pursuits trip with my school. Loved it. And then after time there, started doing a little bit more of it. My husband and I started bouldering. So that's the non-roped climbing. So we did that for a while. And then with our travels, we started doing a little bit more climbing here and there around different parts of the world. And then we lived in Sheffield for a few years in the UK, which has got some amazing single pitched climbing. So we did a bit there, plus the bouldering. And then came here to Taranaki nearly 11 years ago. We've done a little bit on, my husband's done more than me, but a bit on the mountain. And then starting, when I started work at the climbing wall, which I used to do until a few months back, just did lots of indoor climbing as well as outdoor climbing when possible around children.
Yeah. And you were an instructor for this group of Ladies Night. What was that? Tell me about the experience. How was just reunite those women there around the climbing wall? How did you encourage them? What do you teach them?
Yeah, so when I used to work at the YMCA, I took various different sessions, but one of the sessions was a monthly Ladies Night. So it was specifically for ladies. The idea was it wasn't too busy, it was just women, it didn't have the intimidating aspects that some women find. So it was a really nice, positive, nurturing environment. So it was really for women to come and try climbing or develop their climbing in a safe setting. So we went through the basics of learning how to climb and how to connect and onto the rope.
And what is the benefit of the climbing in your eyes? What can be those
benefits? Oh, the benefits?
Yes.
Ooh, endless. Do you want me to go through the kind of sort of few main categories?
Please.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll start with physical. Physically, it's very good for you. It's helping you build your muscle mass, which makes you stronger. It's good for flexibility, balance. It's really good for body awareness. So gymnasts, for example, are naturally very good climbers because they're very in tune with their spatial awareness and their body balance.
That's awesome.
And it also is good for developing your own sense of trust in your body, that it can do what you want it to. It's also the muscle mass side of it's really useful for metabolism, and also for people that are a little bit older, it's really good to help protect your joints if you've got better muscle mass. So especially for women later in life, cardio you have to be careful of. You don't want to overdo it with cardiovascular exercise, but muscle building exercise is actually really, really beneficial for your bones and your muscles.
Definitely.
And your metabolism.
Yeah.
So the physical is one side. The mental is a huge part of climbing.
Yeah.
So it's really good for overcoming fear, and the sense of satisfaction you get when you overcome that fear. You get that endorphin rush, and the anxiety side of it as well, especially with heights. It helps you develop tools to deal with situations where you feel slightly stressed. So if the exposure or the height is making you feel stressed and anxious, you might develop tools like breathing or affirmations that you taught yourself through. So these skills are actually really good skills that you can use in other aspects of life. So that's where climbing has yet another benefit, that it's giving you tools that you can actually use elsewhere as well.
And there's something you mentioned out there is about height. A lot of people, they telling me like, oh, I can't do it, I have problem with height. Would you recommend it as an alternative way to maybe do bouldering, for instance?
Bouldering, you don't go up as high, but you haven't got the rope to protect you. You're completely climbing without ropes. So on one hand, bouldering is good because you're not going up so high. But on the other hand, I think the main thing for people with height issues is learning to trust the equipment and developing tools to keep themselves calm at height. So if you trust that the person belaying you, that's the person that's taking the rope in to prevent you from falling if you come off the wall.
That's his main belayer, yep.
Yeah, the belayer, yep. So if you learn to trust the gear, trust the ropes and the harnesses and the anchors, and trust your belayer, then you're slowly learning, you're teaching yourself that you're safe in a situation that human instinct would make you feel you're not safe. So I think roped climbing is probably the best one to work with if you've got height
and you just
issues.
Go really slow. And as really particular case happened to me when I started doing it in New Plymouth, and I went with this colleague, so a person who was working with me, and we are just developed this trust from each other, which was amazing because we knew we have our back. And somehow we have each other back, and it was amazing because literally I was trusting my life to him and he was trusting his life to me. And it was really nice sense of bonding, if you want to call it that way.
Totally.
So it's absolutely what it is. It's like maybe little by little and baby step will help as well, people.
Definitely,
I think. And then you also mentioned it's something very important. You mentioned about mental health.
Yeah.
And it's proof, I think, in somewhere in America, they've been using it. You can explain a little bit more about it.
Yeah, I mean, there are various studies that have basically tested how climbing can support mental health, which it's proven it absolutely can. I think because it helps you to deal with times when you've got anxiety and stress, it helps you to develop those tools to keep calm. So it's definitely proven to be a tool to support mental health issues. Yeah, and then in terms of the social aspect and about this amazing climbing wall in Memphis that was set up, and the idea of it was to pull together a quite fragmented set of communities within the city.
Mm-hmm.
And this little diamond in the city that brings together all different types of people, and it just gives them a real sense of community, togetherness, trusting in others, encouraging others. And I think the social aspect of climbing, even though it's a personal thing, when you're on the wall, it's just you climbing, but it's actually very social because you're, like you say, you're trusting the person that's got that rope with your life. The other social aspect, which is really nice, I mean, indoor and outdoor climbing, is you're watching and observing others, you're encouraging them. You know, you can see them maybe getting a bit stuck, and that encouragement factor is huge. And the satisfaction that you get from encouraging someone else is almost as much as the person that achieves the climb. So
it
the social
is.
Side is huge. And and you're just helping overcome fears with that person as well. So I think the social side's huge.
And also the spiritual, eh?
The
spiritual side.
Yes, yeah, and then, that was kind of the fourth main aspect. Yeah, I mean, climbing is a mental journey. You're going through times when you're feeling great, times when you're not feeling too good, times when you're strong, times when you're mentally strong or mentally weak, and you work your way through. And I think especially with outdoor climbing, when you're out in that big environment and you've got the exposure and you've got the weather elements, it makes you realize as a human, you know, like we're pretty tiny in the scheme of things. And I know the times when I've climbed a little bit on Mount Taranaki, but not as much as I would like to. But whenever I'm up there, it's quite an intimidating environment. And so it's quite a spiritual place to be spending time. And it's quite humbling to go and spend time on the rock there. And the exposure side of it, yeah, it's very much about that feeling. If you're feeling really overwhelmed with it, you have to find a way to calm yourself and focus on what you're doing and maintain your own safety and
just calm down your own self, basically. So that is amazing. And you just mentioned it's something so important. You say mental journey, and that resonates a lot with me, because I do remember a day when I was quite stressed at work and when things didn't really work as I thought, whatever that happens, and then went to for rock climbing and it's try up. I feel like I wasn't there. I was not present. And it's just one of those sports, if you're not present, something will go wrong. And I got a small little injury in one of my finger. But what I'm trying to say in here is like, I wasn't there. And it's one of those sports that really require you are 100% there.
Yeah.
Because you got to be focused. And it might be because you are too much focused. That's why your mind is relaxing.
Yeah.
Because it's a bit of meditation, because you just, in mindfulness, you do one thing and only one thing.
100%.
Do you think will be a bit of that?
Definitely. And actually, it's interesting you're saying that you came to the climbing and you couldn't quite focus because of external things going on. And usually, climbing actually has the ability to pull you away from all those other things. Because when you're on the wall and you're climbing and it's the self-preservation factor, your 100% focus is usually right there. So if there are other worries and stresses going on in your life, actually when you come in and climb, say in the indoor wall for 1 hour, which is a pretty easy thing to do as opposed to a day on the mountain, it's very therapeutic. You will probably leave that wall feeling a lot more positive about your world than when you arrive, if you've arrived with worries. So it's a very therapeutic activity. Definitely gets the endorphins going.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think all the values you get in from the sport is beautiful. It's like the networking, they support each other. They also tell people what to do and how to do and share experience. It is beautiful. So I can totally recommend it. Will you say something to females? They are listening to us now and they might want it to go, but they're not sure, or they've been giving up in the past. What would you say to them?
Yeah, so I'd say to start with, find a climbing session that's on that's not too busy. So the ladies' night is perfect. Because if you came to the climbing wall on a busy night, it's quite full on. So come on a quieter night, like a ladies' night. Start easy. So it's really important to start on easy climbs. Get that sense of achievement going on. Don't just go onto the difficult walls and on the smaller holds. So make sure whoever's taking the session helps you to find the easier climbs and just get a bit of mileage going on, and just comfort being on the wall and moving up and down the wall and trusting the equipment. So try and, if you're keen to start climbing but you're not quite sure if it's for you or not, look at getting a routine. So whether it's a weekly or a monthly or however routine, that you know you'll do that every month, and that will slowly build up. Yeah, so the YMCA do have a Facebook page, so they do have the schedule of their sessions that are on.
Yeah.
I think the other thing is, see if you can find a friend or a climbing partner to go with, because sometimes when you commit to going with someone else, it's an extra motivator if you're on the cusp of going or not going.
Yeah.
Meeting someone there. And then also it's fun if you go with a friend. It's the extra element.
And if you can always just meet someone there. So just to tell people, is a second Friday of the month, if I'm not wrong, at 7 p.m. ladies' night.
Yeah.
And it's just by leading by Conrad, which is super friendly guy, super nice, super chatty, very easy to be around. Mm-hmm. He will super helpful to help you out. If you're not sure, you just go anytime to the YMCA and then just talk to someone, yeah, and you will find out more information. As Anna mentioned, it's a Facebook page as well.
Yeah.
And the, so yeah, you guys can really easy just find out more information on that. Do you like have another website they can maybe reach?
Yeah, I just, you know, you can either call up the YMCA or pop in and see them. They've got various flyers. And then, yeah, like you say, Conrad runs the wall and he keeps the Facebook page relatively up to date. So, yeah, I'd probably take one of those lines for contact.
That's awesome. So you will carry on doing it. And the good thing is about it is, and this is just to close in more, you know, the topic is, rock climbing is not for any age or gender or weight, and specifically is everyone welcome.
Yeah,
no
absolutely.
Matter what age it is. You know, I've been seeing it like people all sort of ages, and they're all on the wall from littles.
Yeah, definitely. And that's the good thing about climbing. It's very, it's a very open and accessible sport. It doesn't, you know, it's not there to judge. Anyone at any level can go and have a go. So be brave and give it a try. I mean, some people will climb and their children will climb. You know, it's a multi-generational thing as well. And it doesn't matter what level you are. If you're enjoying your climbing, then that's all that matters.
That's level, what it's made up. Yeah, oh, my God. Thank you so much. It's been amazing to have you in here in the Hot Chocolate for the Soul. So thank you, Anna. All the best. And then
thank you.
You pretty much on the pressure, right on the wall, isn't it?
Yes.
So how about we invited people? All right, you go.
So music is another tool that you can use as a motivator or as a calmer. So I do like Queen Under Pressure, because particularly when you're on the wall and you're feeling a bit of fear, this is a good song to listen to get your mind focused back on it.
There you go, guys. Under Pressure. Bienvenidos amigos, ya estamos en Hot Chocolate for the Soul y tengo a una queridísima amiga junto conmigo en, obviamente, un llamado desde Chile. Ella es chilena, psicóloga, dueña de la empresa Componente Humano, dedicada a apoyar equipos laborales. So, es www.componentehumano.cl en caso de que ustedes quieran conocerla y saber un poco más de su trabajo. Ella es una amante de los deportes como la moto enduro, karting y además practicó paracaidismo. Bienvenida, Claudita Elizondo. ¿Cómo estás?
Hola, bien. Muchas gracias por invitarme. Muchas gracias.
Pero qué bueno tenerte. Estamos hablando acerca de los deportes alternativos para las mujeres. Y me gustaría saber un poco más. Estuve leyendo acerca de ti y decía que algo que a ti te apasionaba mucho del karting era un poco esto de la competencia, de estar ahí compitiendo. También te gusta mucho el tema de las motos enduro porque tú vas creando nuevos caminos y eso me imagino también tiene relación con lo que es tu trabajo. Cuéntanos un poquito cuándo partió este amor por estos deportes.
Hoy, hace como 3 años, partió firmemente, porque en realidad también de antes, también de chica, también me gustaban. Y efectivamente es como tú dices, el karting tiene esto de superarse a sí mismo en los tiempos, de ir mejorando en cada giro el tiempo que demoramos en hacer la pista. Y eso es una mejora, además de competir en equipos y competir con otros pilotos, tiene mucho de superarse a sí mismo, de hacer el mejor tiempo en la pista cada vez que uno va a girar. Es bien entretenido. Yo la verdad es que convoco muchísimo a mujeres y hombres que se sumen a este deporte. Tiene mucho de autogestión, de manejar la ansiedad, de estar en la pista, de la concentración, la atención, y muchas cosas que nos sirven más para la vida que también solo únicamente para el deporte.
Y es curioso porque tú dices, esto es algo que sirve mucho más para la vida, sobre todo el controlar tu mente, el estar dispuesto a, digamos, a lo que viene, a preparar tu cuerpo también para lo que viene. Y tiene relación con lo que hablaba con Nana en el principio del programa, cuando hablábamos del rock climbing o la escalada en roca, que también tiene mucho que ver con la parte mental. Y en estos deportes alternativos, podemos ver que las mujeres estamos buscando también una respuesta que no tan solo tiene que ver en cómo nos vemos, en cómo nos sentimos físicamente, que también es un aspecto, ¿no? Pero también es muy importante cómo nuestra mente está de alguna forma generando nuevos caminos, nuevas formas de pensar y de también enfrentar estos desafíos, ¿no es cierto? ¿Lo has notado particularmente en ti?
Sí, de todas maneras, o sea, los deportes más tradicionales, a diferencia del deporte motor, está el factor riesgo, por lo tanto, cualquier concentración o cualquier aspecto, y también hago motor duro, entonces, cualquier situación que uno se concentre, saca la mente y deja de estar presente, viviendo la pista, viviendo la ruta, estando totalmente concentrado, efectivamente, no solamente es como perder tiempo del entrenamiento o perder segundos en la pista, sino que también está en riesgo, hay factores de riesgo. Entonces es sumamente relevante estar presente como mente, cuerpo, emociones en este tipo de deporte.
O sea que ahí también hay un tema de mindfulness, o sea, esto como de estar presente, ¿no es cierto? De estar totalmente enfocada, como tú bien lo dices. Y ahí nos volvemos como al tema del balance entre mente y cuerpo. Y eso es algo que también un poco nos ofrecen estos deportes alternativos. ¿Has tenido, y esta es una pregunta que evidentemente creo que mucha gente se la puede estar haciendo, ¿has tenido muchos accidentes? ¿Has tenido algún tipo de problema en estos deportes?
No, nada grave, gracias a Dios, solo como algunas fisuras de costillas, sobre todo cuando recién comencé, y por lo mismo, o sea, ahí uno también va aprendiendo cómo controlar esta ansiedad, si bien son carreras, no necesariamente el estar dentro de una carrera, en una competencia, por ejemplo en el karting, es pensar en pasar al otro, y eso es un poco lo que me pasaba antes con mayor ansiedad. Y uno va aprendiendo como a ir manejando eso, concentrarse en el mejor rendimiento de uno mismo, a dar lo mejor de sí en la pista, a estar en el presente, como tú dices, y controlar y manejar esa ansiedad para justamente evitar este tipo de incidentes que pueden pasar.
¿Y el paracaidismo? ¿Cómo fue lo del paracaidismo? Porque tú también comentabas dentro de tu experiencia que tuviste, que el paracaidismo te hacía ver como con mucho más como con más realidad, viendo las cosas un poco más con realidad y con perspectiva, que es lo que perdemos muchas veces en el día a día. Y tú decías, uno ve todo muy chiquitito. Me pasó a mí cuando hice mi salto de paracaidismo, que también vi todo tan pequeñito que dije, ¿y los problemas qué son? Porque de verdad es como que no están ahí, no son parte de... ¿Cómo fue esta experiencia para ti? ¿Cómo te has vivido tú lo del paracaidismo?
Sí, mira, cuando decidí hacer el curso fue también, porque en un tándem como que se empieza esa sensación como de, uy, qué pequeños somos estando arriba. Y después como en los distintos saltos, la verdad es que uno es eso, como mirar desde arriba, también tiene todo esto de manejar la ansiedad, el autocontrol, la autogestión de uno mismo, los implementos de seguridad y todo esto. Pero también hay momentos como estar arriba antes de lanzarse y que la vida finalmente dependa de hacer las cosas bien. Es como un cuestionamiento que me pasaba también después de cada salto, como decir, qué pequeños son los problemas al mirarlos desde esa perspectiva, desde arriba de un avión, lanzándose en paracaídas y donde la vida finalmente es lo que importa y lo que está en juego para que todo funcione, o sea, que todo funcione bien porque está tu vida en riesgo. Entonces, es como uno dice, los problemas que vivo en lo cotidiano o situaciones que nos complican, que nos conflictúan, es como te permite vivir el extremo, la vida o muerte en el límite de que cuando necesitas que el paracaídas funcione y necesitas tener un buen salto, es como que todo lo demás en realidad pierde peso los problemas, pierde peso el conflicto, y empiezas a valorar y a fijarte también en cuáles son las cosas importantes que quieres en la vida.
Eso es maravilloso, porque eso es la perspectiva. Entonces, después del tándem, que también dicho sea de paso, quiere decir, para quienes no conocen lo que es cuando tú te lanzas del paracaídas con alguien y tú estás... de alguna forma junto a esta persona o está, podríamos decir, está el, ¿cómo lo podríamos llamar esto? Está el seguro entre las dos personas, están amarrados exactamente, entonces eso es enganchado, esa era la palabra, están enganchados uno al otro, eso es el tándem. Pero tú lograste hacer el curso y te lograste tirar sola.
Sí, sí.
¿Cuántas veces lograste hacerlo sola?
Llevo ocho y después, bueno, si yo empezó la pandemia, tengo que tener 15 saltos para tener autonomía total. Pero autonomía en el salto tengo, solo que el instructor tiene que ir en el mismo avión. Esa es como la condición que tengo actualmente con los 8 saltos. Pero
qué maravilloso.
Maneja el paracaídas completo y todo y aterrizar, no, es maravilloso. La verdad es que todos estos deportes que tienen como estos factores de riesgo, por una parte son vistos así como, ay, ¿por qué estas personas? Como que tanto factor de riesgo, pero por otro lado te van enseñando tanto de la vida y tanto como de qué es lo importante y de autoconocerse y potenciar esa parte que es de verdad buenísimo, porque uno se enfrenta con sus propias sombras, con sus propios miedos y con sus propias fortalezas también en cada uno de estos deportes.
Y es como lo que tú dices, como todo o nada, es como o lo hago bien o lo hago bien, y es como, me gustó mucho la frase que dijiste, de las buenas decisiones, también uno se da cuenta que así va la vida va como de tomar estas decisiones correctas, ¿no? Que es la que nos van ayudando. Y seguro que también cuando tú llegas a lograr aterrizar y termina la sesión del, bueno, me imagino del paracaidismo, o cuando estás haciendo karting, o cuando estás haciendo moto enduro, también regresas a tu casa, a tu hogar, a tu vida, con una perspectiva distinta, con probablemente una forma de mirar la vida también diferente, ¿no?
Absolutamente. Además que, claro, de profesión yo soy psicóloga, entonces siempre estamos como cuestionándonos un poquito y cuál será la existencia del ser, cuál será la verdad del ser, todo eso. Y el ir viviendo estos deportes también me va permitiendo como conocerme muchísimo. Y las cosas que van pasando en estos deportes, por ejemplo, si me equivoco en la pista porque, no sé, doblé mal una curva, en general son cosas que también me van pasando en la vida, quizás no de doblar mal la curva, pero sí de acelerarme, de por qué lo tomé mal y por qué, no sé, como que en términos como de estado emocional, son sumamente similares lo que va pasando en la vida con lo que va pasando también en estos deportes. Entonces, tener ese, como esa conciencia, me ha permitido como ir mejorando esa autoconciencia cada vez, de todas maneras.
Es maravilloso, me parece increíble. Y quiero terminar con esto pidiéndote que por favor hagas una invitación a aquellas mujeres que por ahí todavía están dudando, todavía no están muy claras, no saben si hacerlo o no. ¿Cuál sería esta invitación? ¿Qué les podrías decir tú acerca de los beneficios, tanto personales como físicos? ¿Cómo tú podrías invitar a las mujeres generalmente a poder unirse a esto?
Yo diría que se atrevan, que en general uno tiene la creencia y los propios paradigmas de que piensan, no, estos son deportes masculinos o están más presentes, no sé, los hombres, y no es así, no es así. Hay, en Chile hay pocas mujeres que se han metido al deporte del karting, por ejemplo, en Argentina hay muchas más, y al final uno termina compitiendo a la par, digamos, entre hombre y mujer, tenemos cosas distintas, tenemos cosas en las cuales somos iguales y nos vamos potenciando. Yo creo que ir mezclando géneros en los distintos tipos de deportes es un aporte para ambos finalmente. Y eso es un poco la invitación, que se atrevan, que nos atrevamos las mujeres a hacer esos deportes que habitualmente estaban destinados más hacia hombres o los hombres participaban más, pero que podemos hacerlo y podemos entrenar, y podemos aprender y podemos estar perfectamente practicando el deporte que queramos, independiente del género.
Ok, me parece increíble. Muchas gracias por haber estado con nosotros. Te deseamos lo mejor. Gracias por el llamado y el contacto desde Chile. Que estés muy bien, Claudita. Estamos en contacto de todas maneras porque, además, hay que decirlo, es una muy, muy buena amiga mía. Que estés muy bien, Claudita. Gracias.
Muchas gracias. Un abrazo. Gracias.
Chao, y ya saben cómo contactarla, componentehumano.cl. Muchas gracias a todos y nos vemos en el próximo Hot Chocolate for the Soul.
This show was first broadcast on Access Radio Taranaki 104.4 FM, thanks to New Zealand On Air.